So I'm going to get straight into it. Matt and Lizzie, can you tell me a bit about what Curry Club is?
Absolutely. We'd love to. Curry Club is a community meals project, and the main idea is to have an inclusive eating space that is a bit like a restaurant experience with all the frills, with great cooking, great produce, set tables, flowers, everything you'd expect from a restaurant experience, but make it accessible to anyone with a pay what you feel model, and also an outreach that gets to all different parts of the community. So it's really about everyone eating together and trying to capture some of that, the best bits about restaurants, I think, and the sort of fun bits, and bringing them to a sort of wider and more diverse crowd.
My name's Lizzie. No, you already know. So I guess Curry Club is a sort of collective of people, really. We've managed to avoid being pinned down to a more formal title. And it's a collective of people who love cooking and are hoping to create an inclusive eating space. And the way we sort of got to that was that Matt and I used to run a restaurant, it was actually a restaurant, cafe, music venue, had a little bookshop in Hackney we opened in 2010. And so we used to run that together along with some friends. And so we have a background of cooking. So I'm a cook, but I'm also a baker. And in that little restaurant, Matt did sort of more front of house stuff. And it was kind of like a community spot in a way. But we always felt this tension with money being an obstacle for people walking through the door. There are lots of obstacles for people walking through the door, actually, and money is definitely not the only one. But we kind of recognized that. And so we wanted to think creatively about how do you create the ultimate inclusive eating space? Because we love cooking and we love hosting people, and also believe in the kind of transformative power of working in that space. You know, the intimacy that you have with those who you cook alongside and your colleagues and stuff is super fun. So that's our sort of background, I guess.
And what about you, Matt?
Also same background.
Chef, cook.
Definitely not a chef. I have cooked, and I did cook at Railroad, the place that me and Liz had. But no, I sort of learned cooking from Liz, really, when I moved here from Australia. I was a terrible cook.
You weren't that bad.
No. It wasn't something that was part of my life beforehand. And I sort of became very curious about and very excited by it when I moved here in 2008. So yeah, I sort of learned about food. And then through having Railroad, we learned about wines, natural wines, which I work in now and have done for the last 7 years since leaving the restaurant, since we closed up. So yeah, sort of learned a lot around that time of opening Railroad, and became very passionate about food and have been ever since. And like Liz already outlined how we sort of met and where the people and the other members of Curry Club met. A few of them have worked as chefs at Railroad, and we'd all sort of worked together in the past. And I think the main thing is that after we moved on from the restaurant and a few years off, I think I could speak personally, but we were a little disillusioned with London restaurant scene, what the sort of barriers, obstacles Liz is talking about in terms of justice and of experience for people, and just had this sort of yearning to one day come back and do something that was ultimately inclusive. And yeah, that's what led us sort of 5 years later to start Curry Club.
Amazing. That kind of touches on what was the impetus of starting Curry Club. So that's really great to hear. And it's really nice that, you know, you come from that background, having run your own restaurant, seeing that there was something that was missing, and then, yeah, being motivated to do it. And I guess the next thing that leads me to ask is, what is the importance of initiatives like Curry Club? Why is it needed? What's important about Curry Club? What are the benefits of Curry Club?
Okay.
Yeah. Shall I? Yeah. I guess, why is it needed? And Matt touched on it just then, this, and I think increasingly over the years, and when we opened our restaurant in 2010, it was sort of just on the very edge of this very exciting time in London, where the food and drink scene was kind of exploding with energy and youth as well, and creativity. But because after the recession, and, you know, we saw the riots in Hackney, they were on our doorstep, and, you know, so much, and obviously COVID and all these things that have kind of happened to our society, food became more important. But then it became kind of better and more exciting for those who had money and were able to, you know, order, like, especially during COVID, like, order restaurant, like Hawksmoor at Home, where you can order like a Aberdeen Angus steak that's been dry aged for 36 months. And, you know, but the sort of gap between the richer and poorer, basically, those who had access to beautiful produce and those who didn't, got wider and wider. And that just seems fundamentally wrong, because I think everybody should have access to really delicious, joyful food every single day. Like, that's, I believe that to be a human right, really. And so we were trying to work out, how do we think creatively about how do we provide that, but for it not to be just a kind of charity, like we're the people who have and you're the people who don't have, and we're going to give to you the people who don't have. Because that kind of feeling is, well, it doesn't have to be like that. There's a space for a different kind of eating space, a space for a different exchange of energies.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of the answer with the growth and disparity of money-related barriers, which is really important. But I think also a need that we're trying to address is there's also a bit of a divide growing between people in society, not just because of the sort of level of wealth, but also who eats together, which this can become quite separated. And what we've tried to do with Curry Club is a lot of our diners are 65, 70 plus through some community groups through Hackney Council that we invite. And what's been really nice is sitting people on shared tables and really allowing people to talk and share stories around food that we create with, first of all, with good produce, but we also like to experiment and put something in front of people that they wouldn't have eaten before. Like on the weekend, this lady tried ceviche for the first time and like was raving about it and said she's going to rave about it to everyone she ever meets. And she's going to describe it as a must try to all her friends. And like, that's happened. Things like that have happened quite a lot. And I think like there was a little bit of pushback when we first started in lockdown from a few people saying like, well, Curry Club, okay, you know, people like poor people essentially, or people we're sending meals to in food parcels. That's how we started. We probably won't want the food you guys want to cook, because, you know, you do like trendy food, or like you do things that they haven't heard of. They probably just want fish and chips or something. And I was like, well, no, I think give anyone a chance to try anything. And that's just what's not afforded, the opportunity to try new things in this sort of setting. So this is kind of what we're trying to do, and it's gone really well. And I think people have, whether they're sort of in their 80s or in their early 20s, have responded really well to new types of cooking, the setting, the environment, all that. So,
can I just say, I came to the one on Saturday, the pop-up barbecue, and it was pouring with rain. It's like, what kind of August do we have in the UK? This is so typical, do you know what I mean? And I just remember that was the highlight of my day. I got like that lunch slump where all I wanted to do was just like curl up under a duvet. But it was amazing. I remember coming in and there was this really warm welcome and someone seated me around these like banquet style tables. The place was heaving. So that was really lovely to see. And it was just a real mix of people. So I came in and there was this, like, I was seated at a table and there was this lawyer, these two lawyers that were sat to my right, and they'd found out about Curry Club through friends that have been to the last pop-up. They're like, yeah, we just wanted to come down. We're from North London. And they were telling me a bit about what they do and they love the food. And then there was a couple to my left who were having a whale of a time. They were like, I don't know who they were, but they were really lovely. Felt like real locals. Like, you know, you don't really get that mix. And they were just sat there and she was like eating and he was taking photographs of her eating. And I remember him saying, he was like, it's a bit different, isn't it? It's nice to do something different every now and then. And I thought that's the kind of thing I really miss. It's like when you just have those really nuanced moments. And I feel that's the magic of London. It's like when you just kind of meet people and you have these random chats. It was really lovely to see. And the menu was great because it was sourdough bread to start with. Then you had ceviche, but you had this amazing salad. And my mains being veggie, I had the aubergine, like grilled, barbecued, like courgette. Aubergines and like on the amazing, I don't even
pineapple know sambal.
Amazing. And then there was like a lamb dish for meat eaters, and then it finished off with like this tamarind sorbet with like an oaty biscuit. It was just like three course meal. Come on.
At least,
it was great. And the price, you know, the price tag is super humble. It's really sweet. And just to go back to it before I start reeling off on my like dining experience, how, break it down for me. How does it work? Because you've mentioned Hackney Council referrals, which often tend to be older age groups.
it's all made up by us for a start. I mean, it's something that's trial and error and something that, you know, we're cooks and we like to have put on events, but we've had no experience with outreach before. And this is something we're learning, which is great. And it's, there's a lot to learn. So basically, I've reached out over the last couple of years to a lot of different charities and groups, and there's been some interest, but it hasn't always come translated to people through the door. And it's been hard at times to marry up this idea of cost of living crisis and desperation and people needing meals, and the fact that although I've reached out to a lot of people in charities, not everyone's coming. And it's hard. It's a little bit hard to get people from charities to do something, I think, maybe outside of their remit, what their usual week to week would be, to bring people on the weekend. And it's not through lack of wanting to. I just think it's something that was different to what I may have expected when we first started. But still, we get people through the door through Hackney Council. There's a sort of like 65 plus group. There's a couple of affiliated groups that get the newsletter, are on a mailing list, and they are often repeat customers after that and have been this whole year. So yeah, so we reach out and we continually reach out to more people, and it's something I want to work on in the future. I mean, when I should just say, like, we sort of work full time. This is a side gig. We'd like to increase it, increase the frequency, but for now it's sort of, there's only so much we can put in each week while working. But it's something that we will continue to reach out to different groups. And we don't always know where people have come from as well. So I say that maybe officially people haven't maybe been allocated seats through charities I've reached out to, but maybe they've, like Hackney Food Bank has passed around the flyer, and we don't always know where people have come from, I guess, or how they heard about us. So yeah, it basically works in that we don't allocate a certain amount of seats for groups. It's all just mixed, whoever comes on the day. We have offered in the past to book people in, but people just want to sort of decide. And so far, it's just been a really nice mix.
What's really great and what I noticed on that day is that you have a real, like you say, a real mix of people. So you've got, say, a younger demographic of families, professionals, people working, like the people I was sat next to. So you have this model where you are working within the community and you want to be able to provide this wonderfully, like, amazingly, deliciously cooked meal and this dining experience to people who won't normally have it, and it might feel like a bit of a luxury. And then you've got people who I feel like, you know, I do describe a bit like the Hackney demographic. So breaking that down, because you can book a ticket for the pop-ups by paying, like, I don't know, £5 or something to book your place. And then on the day, there's a QR code on the table, or there's a cash pot like discreetly in the corner so people can pay in cash, or you can scan this QR code and you can pay it at a time that's convenient for you. Yep. So, you know, you've got a mix, because the next question I'm kind of coming to and what I wanted to kind of address is, how do you think Curry Club can sustain itself? Mm. So you've got that mix of referrals and the ethos of what you want to do. And then how else does it work, Lizzie?
So we have the referrals for people who would benefit from a hot meal and being in a warm, hospitable environment, who might not normally have access to that. But then you also have the sort of what you describe as the Hackney demographic of people who might be our friends, they might be our co-workers, they might just follow us on social media. But the idea is that it is an intermingling of all those different groups, because there are very few spaces where that actually happens. Maybe some parks in the summertime, but even the parks are divided. But that leads me on to the next, to answer your question, which is, how can Curry Club sustain itself? Well, the transaction, as in when you actually pay, is discreet and it's completely optional. So you can pay or you cannot pay. And you can pay as little or as much as you want. And there are suggested prices for all the... Was this one for the set,
this,
for the whole
menu?
This
one we did it as a set menu. Yeah. It was the one before we had suggested prices next to each item. Mm.
But, yeah. So, yeah. But generally, normally, it's like a sort of whole price you pay. You know, it might be suggested like... £12 to £15 for a three-course meal. So it's really important that it's accessible for everybody. But then some people will come and be like, well, actually, I can afford to pay double. And if you pay double, you're paying for probably three other people, or maybe four other people, to enjoy that meal. No one knows who's paid and who hasn't. And that transaction, it's really important that's very discreet and it's not the center of it, because that's not the reason why we're there. And the reason why we're there is to enjoy each other's company and to have fun and to have a good time. And another really important element is that all the volunteers get to sit down and eat exactly the same meal So everybody, and that's the, yeah, so everybody is to be treated equally and has a right to this beautiful experience, basically. But then the, yeah, so the people who pay more basically fund the next one. And then we also work with suppliers and producers who are extremely supportive. The current space we're in, the Hackney Chinese Community Centre, gives a good rate and are really supportive. So that's really important. So we've got this sort of affordable space. And then, yeah, we have partner organisations such as E5 Bakehouse, which is actually where I work, and they donate bread and space and resources and equipment. And then there are other suppliers that we work with, Natura, for example, Allpress. Yeah. A network of friends who work in the industry who want to support this kind of project. Soft and Swirly donated that ice cream. And a lot of these people are people that we've either worked with in the past or just sort of friends that we've made, really.
So a lot of this sounds like it's also kind of contacts and your network that you've built and people offering on donations, on a donation basis. And I mean, I remember speaking to you guys a couple of weeks ago and you'd mentioned that you'd crowdfunded like £10,000 originally to try and start this off. And I imagine that £10,000 is only going to take you so far. So with all of these suppliers and stuff that you're talking about, they provide you with surplus food, or like, how do you see yourself sustaining this model in the future? Because I guess my next question was, what would it take to replicate a model like Curry Club elsewhere? Because you're two people who work within the food sector and have this history and this relationship. And if there was someone listening to this and they were like, I want to do something like that for my community, how do you do that? Because crowdfunding is one option, donations is another. Having a great volunteer system whereby you really appreciate the people that you're working with and you want to do something good for the community, how realistic is that?
Yeah, absolutely. Because one thing you can do, or one option that we had, is there's groups like Felix Project who have become really big now, and they collect surplus food and deliver it to community centres around London, of which them often community meals are made from that. What differs from us is what we wanted to do was have chefs, when we first started in lockdown, have chefs cook a dish they want to cook, they're passionate about. We want to write menus that reflect what we're passionate about. So we, in a sense, didn't want to go down the route of just taking what was, because food just gets dropped to you on the day with Felix Project. It could be 10 boxes of carrots and that's it. And you have to work with that, which I think is really great and creative. But for us, the focus is on making it like a restaurant experience. So we want to plan our menus. So it does take working with some supplier like Natura and like E5, who we can order from and get what we want. So that's quite important to us. And this is something going forward we'd like to hone in on even further when we have a bit more sort of time and energy dedicated to it, is really strike up some good relationships, get people on board who are excited like we are about the place, and hopefully continue to get good rates and make it work. Essentially, that's what I'd like to aim for.
And then my next question would be, so what would be your vision for the future? Like, what would that be? What would the ideal scenario be?
In terms of how it runs?
Yeah, in terms of like, what do you see for, what's the future of Curry Club? Because you're both working full-time jobs at the moment and you're doing this on the side, and you've got, you know, you're the people that you're working alongside to help through donations. But what's your vision for the future?
I guess you both answer this. But yeah, I'd say like to have our own space, to have our own space that is open sort of 5 days a week, as an example. And to really, that's when you can really start to work with suppliers, because we don't have anywhere to get things delivered at the moment. It's all just a one-off each week. So like really to set up, to have something that's ongoing and people know that they can drop in for a dinner or meet a friend for a sort of very well-priced, affordable meal where you can bring your own wine. You know, I want it to be what we're doing now, but like more full-time would be great. That would be a vision and something that's replicable, something that we could start in other places. And
yeah, the vision for the future. I think, yeah, I would love to write a blueprint of like how to set up the ultimate inclusive eating space. I mean, we've been talking about writing a manifesto for ages. I've lived in France for a while and I will be moving back there, and I'm very influenced by a lot of the inclusive eating spaces there. And I think that what Curry Club does have is quite clear on what our values are and what we're trying to achieve. And I think one of the reasons why it's successful is because we, at every level, there's this sort of creative energy that is something that is definitely was born out of Matt and I working together and the rest of the people who are involved having worked together for a long time. But from the sort of the initial concept for the residency, say, the sort of the Sunday lunches during wintertime or the barbecue series during summertime, and the sort of buzz and excitement that that brings. And then that goes on to the sort of creativity of writing a menu and like, what do we want to cook and who do we want to work with and what's in season? You know, what's nature saying and what's the space that we're going to be in saying and what equipment do we have? And, you know, in the Chinese community center, these big sort of wok burners and like, how do those limitations kind of push you to be creative? And then the sort of creativity of service and working with each other and the meetings that happen beforehand and the conversations and the energy of cooking together and then teaching the, you know, we have people working front of house who've never served a table before. And that's so fun for them. You know, they're so excited about it. So like, yeah, so maybe sort of creating a blueprint that also included like the joy that can be had through putting on these events, sort of maybe some guidelines of training. And yeah, how do you put on an event with clear intention and a clear set of values? I guess that would be my dream, I think.
That kind of answers this question I had, which was like, what advice would you give someone wanting to set up something similar? So having a manifesto and a blueprint is amazing. It's a lot of the work that I do with the Just Fact program. We've got the Blueprint Architect Group, which is run by Platform London. So I'd love to exchange on that. Is there anything else either of you would add in terms of like practical tips for anyone wanting to set up a curry club or something similar off the ground?
I think the network thing is really important. I think that's what really helped us get started, that the fact that we did have contacts to draw on through chefs and through people who could help to promote and spread the word, definitely. Not to say that you need that. Not to say you can't do it without that. Because it's, I think if anyone wants to do it or has a real sort of longing and a passion for it, then it will work. It's just, it's helpful to have networks, or if not, to find out who your new network is and who your community is, because crowdfunding was definitely helped by some people in the food business who sort of gave us a bit of promotion and spread, you know, that really helped at the start. But also, and the community for sort of where your volunteers are coming from and where your guests are coming from, it is something that I think really helps. So if it's maybe the first thing to do, find out whether your local community center is and what they have existing, because we plugged into one straight away when we first started in Highbury. Yeah.
And then finally, just to finish up, how can people get involved and support you? Yeah. What are your socials? How do people come to the next pop-up?
I've forgotten what our Instagram handle is. I'm sorry.
Curry Club London.
Is it LDN or is it London?
LDN.
Go for it.
Okay.
How can people get in touch? How can they support?
So please follow us on Instagram at Curry Club London. That's spelled LDN. That's probably the best way. Otherwise, we have an email address, which is
curryclubcommunity@gmail.com.
Yeah. Those are the best two ways to do it. And we always post about our next event on there. But yeah, send us an email or a DM would be really nice. But just to say, I want to add that the advice for other people wanting to do something similar is the reason Curry Club is called Curry Club is because we love cooking curry and we saw it as a kind of nutritious, beautiful thing to cook that sort of everybody understood and it kind of cut across class barriers and everybody understands sort of what it is. So I would advise start with an idea that you're passionate about and see where it takes you.
Amazing. And one final question I have for you both. Can you tell me what your favorite cooking tip is for anyone or what a good song is to listen to when you're cooking?
I think cooking should always be vibrant and fun to make them fun to eat. So contrasts are good in cooking, I think. Textures, flavors, colors, everything. Extremes, things that make it an experience, a sort of experience that you can sort of make it art.
Yeah, just enjoy. I mean, I just really love touching things. So I love how tactile and I love the touch. I love the smell. So I like to use a lot of fresh herbs and spices. And we did a biryani for the last Sunday lunch club and I was literally dreaming about biryani. I had so many conversations about it and reached out to so many people to talk about it, and it was so much fun. It was a little bit stressful cooking it for like what was it, like 90 people or something. It's tiny bit stressful, but it was amazing. So yeah, but biryani was really fun. And then, yeah, music always, Bad Bunny. I don't know.
thank you both so much for coming in and talking to me. It's been a pleasure learning more about Curry Club. So anyone out there who's listening who wants to support by donating their time, donating their money, suppliers who have some surplus food that they'd like to get rid of, it's at Curry Club London LDN, or just email at curryclublondon@gmail.com.
Curry Club Community.
There you go. That's me trying to pretend like I listened really well. But thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much.